The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
The Football Association of Ireland has withdrawn its support for embattled FIFA boss Gianni Infantino. Gavin Cooney of the Irish Times joins me now to discuss. Gavin, we were talking yesterday about Infantino and the Irishman at the heart of FIFA and the move to sell off parts of the World Cup. The FAI are certainly not the first movers in this space. We've talked about UEFA and others, but why now for the FAI in this particular move?
Yeah, so you know, they're standing, you know, much like their government, the FAI always want to be seen as good, solid citizens of Europe. They've stood with UEFA on everything up to now, or at least everything recently. So it's not surprising that the FAI have brought out this statement saying that they're withdrawing support for Gianni Infantino. They obviously took their time. I mean, Wales were first out of the traps with this, and that's what last Monday week the English FA followed only a couple of hours later. And the FAI have become, you know, a fairly slow-moving, slightly sclerotic organization in the last couple of years. Their CEO, David Carell, is a very deliberate guy who wants to do everything by the book. They had a board meeting on Monday, and it took the FAI until today to issue this statement. And the FAI say that these things take time, but didn't elaborate on that any further. But they have very clearly staked out their position. Danny, it's that they had sent in a letter of support for Infantino's re-election. They sent that before the World Cup. But now, after all this messy business around the private equity, sell-off plans, etc., they've rescinded that support.
And they say that the association is grateful for the support that FIFA provides, and we'll get into that in a second. But recent events have raised significant concerns regarding governance, transparency, and the lack of meaningful consultation. You know, this poses a difficulty for the FAI because, you know, FIFA are one of four key funders of the FAI. Given the whole John Delaney controversy and its debt restructuring and all that kind of stuff, it's reliant on FIFA goodwill and in relation to kind of clear its debt. So there was probably a bit of a pause for thought in the FAI before they made this statement.
Yeah, and like rightly so, because like, you know, the FAI have to do what's best for Irish football, and you know, that's naturally seen through a financial prism. And it's absurd that any organisation, any football body, should be forced to take sides between UEFA and FIFA, the confederation to which it's affiliated and the global governing body to which it's affiliated. But that's the position that they're in. Obviously, you know, some people will criticise the FAI for being much slower to do this than other European nations, but in fairness, they're still in a minority of European nations who have actually come out and said this. You know, there's plenty more who've still yet to say anything. Most obviously, Scotland. You know, Scotland have yet to say anything at all. And there's the Scottish FA president is quite high up and involved in a FIFA financial committee. So we'll have to wait and see as to why they will do that. But that's a difficulty for the FAI to choose between almost two financial masters. And they've backed UEFA because they've consistently backed UEFA. You know, I mean, the big thing for the FAI in their straitened financial circumstances, the pot of gold on the horizon is their co-hosting of UEFA Euro 2028. So they're not going to do much to put that relationship with UEFA in jeopardy. And we've seen that. Like, we've been talking about this for months in the context of why aren't they boycotting the games against Israel in the autumn? It's because basically that they made their point to UEFA. UEFA ignored it, and now they don't want to be out by themselves and potentially create issues with UEFA down the line. So, you know, I know the FAI were made to choose between their two governing bodies, which is a ludicrous situation for them to be put in. The fact that they chose UEFA is not surprising.
You make the point about the game with Israel. And, you know, a key line of the FAI statement was that the association feels a particular obligation to advocate for and uphold best practice. I was going to ask the Israel question in that context. I mean, have they not made themselves a hostage to fortune in relation to that one, given that statement?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, considering the governance challenges that the FAI had, that's a real flourish of take it from us lads. You know, we know a bit of a mess when we see one. You know, but like, again, these charges are open to everybody. You know, I mean, UEFA are kind of leading the stance here against FIFA, which the FAI and other members are following. But like, UEFA have kind of quietly backed Infantino's many issues over the years. Like, even there was a statement earlier on this week from UEFA, co-signed by UEFA along with the confederations of North America and Asia, as you know, pointing to achievements under Infantino, including the awarding of the World Cup to Saudi Arabia in 2034, and that almost celebrated that decision, and it certainly stood over it.
Yeah.
But that was a decision made with complete opacity, of a piece with the World Cup sell-off plans. You know, so you know everyone can be accused of hypocrisy here, and everybody is really only the main interest in football at all levels seems to be self-interest. You know, and the FAI, as we know from the stance around the Israel games, they're not going to stand out there by themselves and risk being exposed. You know, this is the real politic of how this world works. So the FAI, the position in which they feel most comfortable is of a group is standing with the rest of European nations under the UEFA umbrella.
We know that the vote in relation to deciding Infantino's fate and electing his successor is not until next March. But as of now, the BBC reporting today that there's 108 associations, national associations, opposing him. There's another 16 who are assumed to be opposing him. And there's roughly about 68 or 69 who are supportive their support is assumed. There's many miles to go in this, Gavin, before this kind of finishes out, really, isn't there?
It probably is. Like, I mean, the couple of big things to watch is obviously if Infantino is not going to resign straight away, which he's not, he's digging in. He stands for re-election next March. At the moment, he's unopposed. UEFA will find a candidate to back and run against him. You need a simple majority of member associations across the world. So what's the majority of 211? Off the top of my head, you'll have a better head for numbers, Danny, but it's around 106. So, you know, potentially there's a route to safety for Infantino if he can find enough members to back him. It does seem hard to credit at this point. The other thing to watch around this story is, as it stands, technically, UEFA's members, the FAI included, are boycotting all FIFA competitions. So until Infantino resigns. Now, that's going to be tested. The next test for that is the Women's Under 20 World Cup in Poland in a few weeks' time. The FAI's first test on that boycott stance is the Women's World Cup playoffs against Kazakhstan in October. Now, they're planning to play those games as normal. They announced Porky Cueve as the host of the second leg earlier today. It would seem impossible that, you know, those games would actually be affected by this standoff. But as it stands, all sides are intractable. And as it stands, there's a very real risk that those games would be affected by a boycott. Potentially some resolution can be brought about before then. You would have to hope that. But that goes back to my initial point that in their backing of UEFA's stance and over these issues we've been talking about this year, the FAI have got themselves into a position where they are now technically boycotting two games in the autumn. But those games are not the men's games against Israel, but the women's games against Kazakhstan.
Yeah, Gavin, before we finish up, you and I were both at Croke Park last night for the Manchester United, Leeds United kind of friendly match with the Boyle Sports Cup final, if that's why. Yeah. A sellout crowd. Now, there was a bit of controversy because there were a number of pitch invasions or a number of incursions onto the pitch towards the end of the game. People, you know, there seemed to be young boys, young men looking for selfies from players. Has there been any blowback or any kickback from that, given, I suppose, it is a breach of what is normally tolerated in Croke Park?
Yeah, look, it wasn't meant to happen. There were announcements before the game not to have anyone come onto the pitch. And, you know, after that happened and when the game went to a penalty shootout, I think there were two separate call-outs even during what was a fairly brief penalty shootout. I haven't seen a huge amount of fallout to it today. Obviously, it's not meant to happen. At the same time, it's hard to begrudge kids whose families spend an awful lot of money to support Manchester United or travel to games or even go to that game yesterday for wanting to get to a bit closer to their heroes. It was a bit of a farcical situation where, you know, two kids ran on and then they weren't stopped. So another three kids bolted from the crowd and the referee eventually just blew for full time to call an end to it. But I haven't seen too much controversy. I've seen it pointed out that, you know, that Croke Park would like to host a UEFA Champions League final in the future. Is this a bad look in that context? But I don't think you can overstate that. We're at risk of overstating these things. I mean, we've seen these same issues happen at the Aviva Stadium in much more important games, including, you know, World Cup qualifiers, European Championship qualifiers against Portugal.
Gavin Cooney, sports correspondent with the Irish Times, thank you very much for joining us.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.